It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
AC Mott stick handles down the left side, back to even strength. AC Mott cut to the left boards and shot it toward the slot, but it was blocked. Now it's off of the pads of Hurdle. He will get it back, and he can't control the puck on the feed from Matt Benning. He's bodied off the play. It just has not gone right for Tomas Hurdle all season. Now it's off the stick. It's a breakaway for Buffalo. A penalty coming up as it's poked. Save made there by Kakinen. Rebound picked up, and we're going to get a penalty shot. Here comes Krebs moving in. Krebs shoots. Stick save made by Kaapo Kakinen. No goal, and the score remains 2-2, and that's a pretty important save by Kaapo Kakinen.
Well, it really seemed like we got very demoralized after they went up 3-2, whereas, you know, when it was 1-0 and 2-1, we kept playing. I thought we really played well the first two periods and controlled a lot of the play. And, you know, I didn't love our third. They turned it up a notch. I thought we took a step back and, you know, just miscommunication on the goal. And it looked like we got easily demoralized after they went up 3-2. We didn't do much after that.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Once again, the Sharks played the level of their competition, and I think that is in some ways a good thing and in some ways a bad thing, because they have proven that whether it's a playoff contender or whether it's one of the top teams in the league, the Sharks can go toe-to-toe with that team on the ice. The problem is they will also lose to a Columbus and or a Chicago. The Sharks hung around with Buffalo, who was vying for a wild card spot, but ultimately, when all was said and done, they came up short. And I feel like this is a story that we have seen time and time again this year, especially at home. And that's the thing that makes it even that much more frustrating, because it was a good crowd last night. It was a sellout. It was a very good vibe inside the building. I thought that the Buffalo fans were there and being antagonists, and it was making the Sharks fan base that much louder inside the building. Again, a really good vibe, a fun night, you know, bobblehead for Mike Greer, Black History Night. I mean, everything felt like it was, you know, being built up for the Sharks to have a moment there when it's 2-2 late in the game, and they couldn't find that next gear that they needed to give themselves that goal to go up 3-2. Instead, they go down 3-2. They don't have an answer. Empty netter on top of that. It's 4-2. And again, it's a close game where the Sharks gave themselves the opportunity to have a chance to win, but giving yourself that opportunity versus actually taking advantage of it are two entirely different things. And one of the things that I hoped would be one of those moments that spurred them was the shot from Kaapo Kakinen, or the save from Kaapo Kakinen, that you heard coming in, where it was the penalty shot that was awarded. And yeah, that was pretty clear cut to me once I saw the replay. It didn't look as bad in real time, and I was thinking, wait a minute. And then I saw the replay, I said, oh yeah, that's definitely worthy of a penalty shot. But listen, I understand exactly why you make that play right there, because I think that, you know, your goalie probably has a better chance of stopping him on the penalty than you would if you're trying to, you know, interfere or obstruct their ability to shoot. So again, I didn't have any problem with it. I thought it was a smart play. And again, I was hoping that there would be momentum from that moment, that Kaapo makes the big saves and the Sharks can turn it in the other direction and hopefully give themselves a chance. And that's not the way it went down. And that's unfortunate. Like, that's something that I look towards next year and think that it's not just, you know, the Sharks being not as opportunistic as I would like them to be. And that's, again, a longer story that we can talk about this entire year. But in my opinion, I think that one of the things that really good teams in not just the NHL, but all sports do, is they take advantage of momentum. They take advantage of shifts, of ebbs and flows within the game, and use them to their advantage to get goals and get kind of that overall feel of the game going in their direction. Now, it's 2-2 at that point, and you hope that there would be that moment with Kaapo making the save that the team kind of says, hey, our goalie just stepped up big time for us. It's time for us to step up big time for him. And once again, throughout the entirety of this game, Kaapo Kakinen was really, really good for the Sharks. The first goal he probably wanted back. Other than that, you know, there was nothing he was going to be able to do to stop those shots. And so I didn't, you know, think there was anything wrong with his performance. Sharks need to be that much better in front of him, give him more offensive support. But again, they couldn't take advantage of the moments that were given to them. And that's the thing that, you know, is the difference between where the Sharks are and where better teams are. Again, like a Tampa probably takes a blocked penalty shot and turns it into a goal shortly thereafter because they are that good. Maybe not good enough to beat the Sharks most recently, but you get my point. I mean, these are the things that you need to be able to take and have happen and say, hey, we just stopped a huge opportunity. We need to turn that into a swing instead of going down one, being up one. Like, that's what I would hope to see, but it's not the way it went down. And it was an interesting game to watch because I thought the first period, you know, the Sharks go down relatively early in that game, but they had a very good bounce back from that goal, and they had good energy even before they gave up the first goal, and it felt like there was a lot of quick puck movement. It felt like there was a lot of shots being generated on both sides. It felt like both teams were ready to play. Like, that's the thing. It's like the Sharks were a little bit sluggish in Vegas, and, you know, that message got through from head coach David Quinn that they were not going to be sluggish once again in this game, and they stepped up. They did exactly what they needed to do in the first period to be right there with Buffalo, even though they went down by a goal. And when they went down by a goal, it was kind of like, okay, that was a stop that Kapo shouldn't make. It didn't feel like the Sharks had gotten completely broken down and, you know, dismembered to get that goal. It felt like, okay, that was a bad goal, but the Sharks can recover from this. And again, they bounced back with good energy and were able to tie it before the period was over, and that's exactly what you want to see. Like, that type of a response, the fact that the Sharks did not get kind of bumped down from that first goal and were able to quickly come back with a response and tie the game, that was exactly what you need to see. And then again, in the second period, when you go down 2-1, at that point, from what we've seen from the Sharks this year, you're hoping that they are not demoralized, but, you know, it's relatively early in the second, and then about 6 minutes later, you get Barbie scoring a goal to get it right back at twos. And that, to me, again, that's good response, but the Sharks have not consistently been, over the course of the year, a team that can go down by a goal and then have that ability to come back and overcome that lead and then go on to win. I mean, it's happened a couple of times this year, but it's not been with consistency. And there have been, you know, a number of times this year where we've seen them be good enough to come back and tie and then go down and come back and tie. And then ultimately, when they don't have that lead, they're not able to come back. And, you know, it's funny because there's not like a prototypical Sharks win this year by any means. The prototypical loss has been one of devastating heartbreak, which we didn't get last night, so that's good. But my overall reaction to everything we saw last night is that, once again, the Sharks were good enough to play with and or to their opposition, but they weren't good enough to beat them. Like, they weren't good enough to take over the game, take control, dictate the terms, take a lead. That is something that is still elusive for this Sharks team, and it's going to remain elusive, I fear, unfortunately, for the remainder of the year. And again, I like the effort. I appreciate how hard they work, but far too often that work is undone at some point in the game, and that's what happened in the third period. They were once again turning the pucks over, and this is something that for a second straight game, David Quinn has talked about, that when you have a team that's as relatively good as Buffalo is, just like Vegas, and you give them the puck and you give them speed and you give them the ability to come back in your zone with a bit of a rush, things are eventually going to go against you. And it took a while for Buffalo to take that 3-2 lead, but, you know, once they did, they were not able to relinquish it. The Sharks were trying to make things happen after that, and they were, you know, not good enough when all was said and done to overcome their mistakes. They couldn't find that game-tying goal a third time, and that was all she wrote. You add an empty netter on top of that, and it's a 4-2 final. And I'll point out that there was nothing particularly bad about that performance. Like, I don't want to be the guy being like, oh, they didn't do this, that, or the other thing. Like, no, it was actually relatively good. And I'll stick to the things that I've talked about all year long. Kaapo Kähkönen did his job for the Sharks last night. He had one bad goal get by, but otherwise, you know, you've only given up 2 goals entering the third. I've said it a million times, that to me is a winnable game. He stopped 27 of the 30 shots that he saw. That's a .900 save percentage. And again, that third one didn't come until we're almost halfway through the third. So he's giving your team a chance. You know, again, you've given up 2 goals entering the third at home. To me, if you're a good team, that's a winnable game every single time. The Sharks, unfortunately, not a good team. But again, like I said, that gives you a chance. But ultimately, when we look at the teams of the future that the Sharks are hopefully building towards, it's got to be more than just a chance. Like, it's got to be something that you take advantage of. It's got to be something that, again, when you're on your home ice, that you're able to turn into a victory. And this is something that we've seen time and time again with the Sharks this year. They are just not good enough to get over that hump. And while they are good enough to hang with these other teams, that's just not going to be enough, because eventually the team that does have a little bit more talent or is a better team is going to find a way to win. Like, your strategy cannot just be to hang around and hope that you get a chance late in the game if it's still tied up at that point. Occasionally that might work for you, but it's not going to work consistently, and I feel like the Sharks consistently feel like if they hang around, that'll be enough, but, you know, it's not, clearly. I mean, that's the thing that everybody can see, is you can hang around, but talent or the better team is going to win out. And Buffalo, for the first time in a long time, is a better team. And I feel that that was just kind of inevitable watching that game go down, especially once it got into the third period and the Sharks were facilitating their offense by giving them the puck too often and they couldn't have, you know, kind of sustained possession. It just felt like it was coming. Like, you're in a 2-2 game and they started to turn the puck over, and then suddenly it turned into a 3-2 game. And then once it was 3-2, you know, David Quinn even said about it after the fact, he said it was demoralizing, and I think he's right. You know, I'm not one to try and talk about, you know, the immediate reaction to a goal, but it just felt like once the Sharks went down 3-2, it felt like they didn't have a lot of pushback. It felt like they started to try that play, that hero style of hockey, or hope for something amazing to happen, but, you know, that's not what the outcome was. And I'm not trying to be overly negative or anything like that, because I did feel like it was an entertaining back and forth game. Like, overall, at this point of the season where the Sharks are, I'm just like, give me an entertaining game and I'll be happy. And I feel like that is what I got to see over the course of the game. Like, I was thoroughly entertained. It was a back and forth battle. It's 2-2 late. It's a one goal game late. The Sharks always had the chance to get that third tying goal. But again, when you're constantly in the position of chasing a game at home, I do feel that takes a lot out of you. And when it takes a lot out of you, it takes a lot out of your teammates. And when it takes a lot out of your teammates, it takes a lot out of the team as a whole, because you're never working to dictate the terms of the game. You're working to get yourself back into it and then see if you can reestablish a little bit more of what you want to have happen. But you've got to fight to get yourself back into the game at that point, and that takes it out of you. I mean, there's a reason they call it chasing a game, and I think that for a lot of the game, the Sharks were also chasing the puck. They were much more reactive and or reactionary to what Buffalo was doing, as opposed to Buffalo ever being in that position against the Sharks. Because the Sharks, you know, were the team that was coming back to tie it, but they didn't oftentimes look like the better team out there on the ice. They looked equal at times, but they never looked like the better team. And these are the things that I look for. Like, you know, you go back a couple games ago against Pittsburgh, I felt like the Sharks often looked like the better team, even though they lost. Or you look at that game against Vegas, where it was a really good battle, and at times they looked better, but it just wasn't enough to give themselves a win. But last night, it felt like the Sharks were able to hang around, but they never looked like they were completely in control, like they were the better team, like they were dictating what should happen out there on the ice. And again, when you go up against a goalie who's having a good night, that's going to lead to a difficult situation, which eventually is being down 3-2 in the waning moments of the game. And something's going to break at that point. It does. The empty netter, 4-2. And it's not the worst loss in the world, but it's another indication that the Sharks are not able to take control of a game and put themselves out in front. Like, you give the Sharks a lead, I feel better about that, even if I do not say that I'm going to, you know, put down the mortgage on them holding on to that lead. It's just like you would like to see them play with a little bit more freedom, as opposed to that overall need to try and find that game-tying goal. Like, that's a very difficult place to play from. And unless you take advantage of that momentum that lets you take it from a one-goal deficit to a one-goal lead, like we saw when it was 2-2 and you had that penalty shot, unless you do that, unless you ride one of those waves, you're going to have a hard time finding that go-ahead mentality when you're in the midst of a season like the Sharks are. And I guess if there's anything that is, you know, pleasing about this game, is that it wasn't a demoralizing, awful style of loss where it was gut-wrenching. It was just like consistently, nope, they're not there, they're not there, there's not enough, they're not the better team tonight. And then that proved to be the truth in reality when it was over, because, you know, 4-2 game doesn't happen by accident. Even if the Sharks had nice moments of their game and did not by any means play terribly, it doesn't matter per se. Like, you don't have to be terrible to lose. You can be just good enough to hang around and then eventually get beat. And that is what we saw last night with the Sharks. And so again, it's not the worst loss of the year. It's not a gut-wrenching loss. It's not one of these losses where we're angry about massive mistakes and huge issues or the net minding or any of these things. It's just the Sharks got down, could never get out in front, And when you play that style of hockey over 60 minutes, you are going to come out on the wrong end of it. And I don't think that I am breaking any news with that assessment. I don't think that I am coming at you with a hot take. I liked a lot of the Sharks game last night. It just wasn't good enough to win. And that's what you hope to see next year. And again, I know that it's 25 games left. You don't want to always be talking about next year. But it is something that you have to pay attention to. Like next year, you have to look at what happened the year before and say, what can we do to put ourselves in a better situation to where we are not the reactionary team, to where we are able to ride those momentum moments and take a one-goal deficit into a one- or multi-goal lead? Because that's what, listen, you see this happen with other teams in the NHL. They go down, and then they get one break, and they take that break and turn it into a broken open game to where it goes from down 2-1 to up, 5-2. Like, that's what we've seen teams do to the Sharks this year. Granted, it's not always been the best team in the league. Like Chicago, down 2-0, scores 5 unanswered to beat the Sharks 5-2 in their own building on, what, the third game of the year or fourth game of the year? But that's how it goes sometimes. Like, you've got to be ready for those types of moments, because when they come, if you can take advantage of it and turn a deficit into a lead, that is a momentum killer for the other team. You ride that wave to the forefront, and it just makes everything that much easier for your team. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, though, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. After this 4-2 loss to Buffalo, you're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here comes Lawrence trying to help out Svechnikov on the right wing boards. Lawrence is right in there grinding at the puck against Tage Thompson. He worked it free. Back on the point, right side. McDonald shoots. Tip score! Jacob McDonald, after the battle win occurred in the corner on the right wing side, gets the puck on the point. He's a left-handed shot. He turned to his forehand and fired the wrist shot. And I think Yevgeny Svechnikov might have been the guy that tipped that puck in front. It did change direction, and it gets by Luukkonen. This game is tied 1-1.
It's always not easy, but I don't think really our mentality was kind of, we were behind. I think we felt good about our game, and guys felt good in the room. Didn't matter if we were behind or whatnot, the game was tight anyways. So I think we're playing really good. Like, we had energy, we had enthusiasm, positivity, so felt good. I don't know, for some reason we kind of went on our heels in the third.
Welcome back, everyone. It is a Sunday morning edition of Morning Tide as we are reacting to the Sharks' 4-2 loss to the Sabres last night. That was Evgeny Svechnikov bringing us back in after he was credited with that tip on the first goal the Sharks had on the night. You know, I like his game. I thought that, earlier on in the year, I didn't quite know what to make of him. But I think that as he's getting more and more comfortable with the Sharks, I do like what he brings to the table. And I think he's right about the good energy that the Sharks showed last night. I think he's right about them being right there in it. And again, my issue with the Sharks this entire year has never been their effort. Their effort is always very, very high quality. And they're out there and they go in the game with everybody. It's about, to me, the idea of taking advantage of opportunities when they come. And, you're at home ice and you're down and you're able to, kind of turn that into something once you get that game tying goal. I mean, I make the comparison to a year ago. Game number one of the year against Winnipeg, the Sharks were down 2-0, and then they came roaring back to beat Winnipeg. And that was one of those things where it's like, okay, you get Tomas Hertl going. You get, your star players going in that game. Like, that game turned itself around. And that team last year in the forward groupings had less talent overall. Now, last year's team had Brent Burns. His loss is a big-time loss. I'm never going to try and understate that. But it is interesting to watch the team's mentality from one year to the next, because it felt like last year they had the ability to get back into games. It felt like they were able to ride momentum, particularly at home. And it just felt like they were able to give themselves a better chance in games that were close. Now, oftentimes they did get beat up a little bit more badly than this year's team. But it does feel like, again, last year it's home, It was 2-0, 2-1, and then suddenly, boom, they went out and beat the Jets in game number one of the season. Like, that was not shocking to me because that's more in line with what we've seen at SAP Center in the past. What we're watching right now is, I won't say inexplicable, but it's just so out of the norm from what we are used to seeing from the San Jose Sharks. It's like usually when they're at home, when they've got the crowd behind them, when they're able to get that game-tying goal, they're able to turn that into something, but that is not where they are right now. And I hope it is where they are in the near future because it's tough for fans to come out and continually watch their team get beat at home. I mean, 5 home wins this year. That's tough. That is really, really tough to deal with considering it's February 19th this morning. Here's head coach David Quinn on what we saw in the third period because Buffalo, you know, as Quinn said earlier, it was a bit of a demoralization when they scored that go-ahead 3-2 goal.
We just turned it over too much. I mean, you know, a team, regardless of how fast they actually are, they're going to look a lot faster when you have it and all of a sudden you give it to them. And that happened a ton in the third period. It was our turnovers that really fueled their speed and, you know, that's how they live. And, you know, they got a lot of good players over there. When you keep giving it to them, they're going to burn you. And that's what happened.
If you give the opposition, who is ostensibly better than you are, of which I think we can all say that Buffalo this year is better than the Sharks, if you give your opposition chances, eventually they're going to make you pay for it. And that's what we've seen with the Sharks time and time again this year. Now, the one thing that concerns me is the fact that the Sharks have been turning the puck over again over the last 2 games. Like, that was something that I thought was out of their game. That was something that I thought they had dealt with and it turned into a better team than consistently turning it over. But in 2 straight games now, against Vegas, a very good team, and against Buffalo, a good team that's vying for a playoff spot, I do think that this is a little bit concerning that these turnovers have crept back into their game. Now, I give them credit because these are not the critical turnovers that lead to mystifying mistakes and, you know, goals. But at the same time, I do look at the fact that it felt like they had moved beyond these goals. It felt like they were no longer making those mistakes. And so that is something that I think they need to get out of their game before it starts to become the norm once again. Because you see guys 2 games ago, too many, you know, behind the back and or spinorama passes trying to thread the needle. Like, the thing that I always come back to is just, you know, keep it simple. Make sure that you give yourself high probability chances to complete passes. Don't try and connect the home run pass. Just try and make things simple enough to where you can advance the puck up the ice. I feel if you do that, you'll consistently give yourself a good chance to make things happen. And, you know, again, when you feed their offense, like head coach David Quinn said, like, you're going to give them opportunities. You give them enough opportunities, they're going to bury it. And then, you know, you go down 3-2, you open up even more. You eventually pull the goalie, and then you have a 4-2 loss. One of the guys who I did really like last night was Noah Gregor. I thought he was very fast. I thought he was everywhere out there on the ice. I thought he was making things happen. Noah Gregor has had messages sent to him all year long. You know, he had to fight and earn his time in this lineup, and I like that he's making things happen. Again, his game is not complete yet. He is still developing. He is still young, but he has a physical skill set and the tools and that weapon of speed to make things happen. And I think all night long, what I really liked from him is that he was making things happen. Here's head coach David Quinn.
Yeah, Greggy always looks fast because he is fast. And I thought his play was going from zone to zone. He was moving, which is his biggest strength.
I mean, when you see guys flying around out there on the ice, that's encouraging. And I think that Noah Gregor putting forth that effort, it's important for the coaches to see. It's important for everybody to see because he is one of those guys who has to fight for that time out there on the ice, and he is doing exactly what is asked of him. I mean, we would like him to be, you know, more productive overall, but you also have to look at what happened last night over the course of the game, and that was, you know, you only had 1 point from Erik Karlsson. Once again, you weren't getting much from Tomas Hertl. Timo Meier was kept off the board, and as much as I love the fact that a guy like Noah Gregor is popping and is flashing because that's great to see, you have to ask yourself in a lot of these losses as of late, where is Tomas Hertl? Like, that's the one that's coming back to me. It's like, where is his production? And then last night, I also look at Timo Meier. It's like, okay, where's your production? And Erik Karlsson, he only had 1 point last night. And it's like, okay, where's your production? And you also look at Nick Bonino and you say, okay, where is your production? And these are not, I'm not calling these guys out or anything, but when you're focusing on the play of a guy like Anoa Gregor. That is probably because you're not seeing enough from the other guys. And that's not, I'm not trying to take anything away from Noah, but it's like there weren't enough guys who were also showing that same type of pop and energy and effort last night. And I didn't think they were sluggish like they were in the game against Vegas, but it just felt like you didn't see enough guys who had that little bit extra. And there have been plenty of times throughout the course of the year where one of the stars does have that pop, but the Sharks, when they don't have the stars with the pop, there is a drop-off that becomes pretty evident when you're watching it out there on the ice. And then another guy I was waiting for to do something who actually felt he had a decent game was Kevin LeBanc. You know, he's been able to get back in the lineup more as of late, but even though he's been playing better, he hasn't been able to register those goals. Here's what head coach David Quinn thought about Kevin LeBanc last night.
I didn't love that line tonight, not just him. I didn't think that line was on their game tonight.
And I do agree with his assessment of that line. I didn't think LeBanc in particular was bad. I actually thought he had some good shots and some good moments. But that line wasn't what they needed to be. In a game like that, you need your stars to come up with big moments, and that's not what they were getting. And again, that is frustrating. You know, I understand exactly why he would be frustrated with that line last night, but that's just the way it goes. More from head coach David Quinn on the game overall.
Yeah, I mean, we gave him two good periods, and just, again, I mean, it's really been the story of our season. And when you lose as often as we have, good teams find a way to win. Teams that win, they find ways to win, and teams that are losing that we have, they seem to find ways to lose, and that's kind of been the story of our season so far. But we've got, you know, 20-plus games left to go, and, you know, you got to be a professional, and you got to dust yourself off and get back at it and get ready for Monday.
20 games left to go in which the San Jose Sharks, it's not like they are going to save their season, but again, you have Seattle Monday at 1, then you have Nashville Thursday night at 7:30, then Chicago, Patty Marleau night on the 25th, and then the following Tuesday, hosting Montreal, then you get into the month of March, two more at home, hosting St. Louis on Thursday the 2nd, and then Washington on Saturday the 4th, which is an afternoon game, before you go out onto the road for three at Winnipeg, at Colorado, and at St. Louis. And for the San Jose Sharks right now, again, the effort last night was not the worst in the world, but it's one of the things that we focused on all year long. It's the idea of being opportunistic. And, you know, last night they had an opportunity once they tied the game 1-1. And they had an opportunity once they tied the game 2-2. And they had an opportunity when they stopped the penalty shot. And it's like you look for these moments of which you can ride the momentum at home. And unfortunately, it has not been there for the San Jose Sharks yet. And last night, again, you look at the overall performance, Kaapo Kähkönen gives up one bad goal, but otherwise, you've only given up two going into the third period at home. That's a winnable game. You've got Erik Karlsson producing a point. You've got depth players like Svechnikov producing a goal. And also, you get McDonald with a point. You get Barabanov with a goal. I mean, it feels like you got enough of the little things right in that game to end up with the performance that you were looking for, but unfortunately, you just didn't have the star players going. You didn't have enough things going right for you to walk away with a home win. And, you know, for the Sharks on the road this year, it doesn't feel like they've had to have everything go right. They've needed a lot to go right. But again, they've been able to consistently win on the road. It's at home where everything has to be nearly perfect, where everything has to be just flawless and nearly magical to walk away with a good performance. And that's unfortunate. But when you have a game like last night where you're chasing it and you down 1-0 to tie, down 2-1 to tie, and you can't take that next step to take control of the game, you know, the later it gets in that game, in a situation where it's a season like this and you're not good at home, I think there comes a little bit of a mental aspect as well. Like, you know that you're not going to be able to get it going. You combine that with the fact that you've had crushing losses over the course of the year and you haven't had success. I think it kind of snowballs. And I think it kind of snowballed on the Sharks last night. And this is hopefully something that we limit to just one season because, you know, listen, the building was great last night. I thought the fans were great, great vibe, great energy. One of my favorite moments before the games is walking up and seeing everybody outside and, you know, they're all getting ready to go in and they're, you know, there's lines out front and everybody's excited. And it was such a good energy, especially the Saturday night game. So much positive energy. And then we get to this point and it's like, okay, let's see if we can get a win. And consistently we haven't had those wins. And that's just, you know, it's unfortunate because they're not getting blown out. They're not getting destroyed. They're not getting, you know, just these, you know, awful losses 99% of the time. The only real bad one was the Edmonton one. Otherwise, this is a competitive team. Unfortunately, being competitive, it's not enough. I'm not trying to be, you know, overly critical, but The goal is to win, not be close. The goal is to earn two at home, not just put on a good show. It was a competitive good show, but the San Jose Sharks team needs to reward their home fans with wins. All right, we're out of time. I will see y'all on Monday morning for the buildup for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.